Daniel Shapiro is a world-renowned expert on negotiation and conflict resolution, founding director of the Harvard International Negotiation Program, and best-selling author of Negotiating the Non-Negotiable. He will be speaking on Saturday afternoon at the Tanglewood Learning Institute's Big Idea event at Ozawa Hall in Lenox, Massachusetts. The keynote speech also features cellist Maya Beiser and coincides with the August 25th performances of Schoenberg's Peace on Earth, featuring the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, conducted by James Burton, and Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which culminates in the choral movement popularly known as the Ode to Joy. Composed more than 80 years apart, the two works present powerfully contrasting portraits of protest, freedom, peace, and shared humanity. It is a pleasure to welcome Daniel Shapiro back to the roundtable. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It is great to be here with you.
Very nice to have you on the program. Very nice to have you in the region and doing this this incredible event on Saturday night. So, what are you envisioning it to be?
Sure. So it's going to be a very unique event. The vision is to present on why is our world so divided right now? Politically, why can't we talk with our neighbor about our different politics? Why can't we get along more effectively? And what can we do about it? And so the talk's going to be on that subject. What makes it particularly unique and exciting for me is that this is a collaboration with the famed cellist Maya Beiser. What we wanted to do was to have the audience not just cognitively understand the challenges of divisiveness in our world, but to feel it, to really feel it. And to me, there's no instrument that's more powerful than the cello, trying to capture that human angst and that human hope.
What is it about music that you think can be a counterpart to what it is that you have spent a lifetime exploring?
Yeah, I think it's one thing to talk about conflict, to talk about civil discourse, those kinds of things. I think it's very different to have Maya on stage with the cello resonating so that the audience can really feel the depths of the challenge in front of us, and just as much that hope. You know, I think the cello really speaks to the full range of the human heart, the human voice.
So in your work, as you talk about the polarization and the divide that so many of us have, what you're seeing now, is this just more of the same for you, or are you seeing really something that is extraordinary and different and perhaps more extreme than you've ever seen it before?
I think many people feel that the divisiveness has become more and more extreme. Certainly, there has been political divisiveness in history. It's not unique on that level, but it feels uncomfortable for many people. Why do I think it's coming about? I wrote an article that got swiftly rejected probably about 15 years ago at one of the major foreign affairs journals. And it was arguing that our world, as much as we were becoming and are becoming more and more interconnected through globalization and so on, my sense was that that's actually going to move us backward toward what I would call tribalism, toward movement, toward the safety of our own smaller groups that we can feel some identification with, some comfort with. I think that's where we've come to a large extent, that, you know, no degree of rational conversation and logic alone is going to bring the various sides in our country together. I think it requires us to move deeper, to understand the experiences, the stories, the emotions that are driving us currently toward division, you know, but what's motivating us? Once we understand that, maybe we still disagree and maybe we're politically strong in our opposition, but I think that understanding is important.
One of the things that has fascinated me in the current context and the current discussion that we're having, and even within the division, is that so often we're talking about children, we're talking about the future, we're talking about issues, whether it be climate change or immigration, that directly impact future generations. And even whether it's gun control and looking at what happened in Newtown several years ago, I guess my you know, one of the things we keep on saying, well, if these kids and this understanding doesn't move the needle, then what is going to move the needle? And I present that to you in two ways. One, is that a real thing? And two, if it is, how do you get around it?
There's certainly places where the political parties have clear opposition, and to some degree irreconcilable opposition.
Yeah.
At the same time, I think we share a lot of commonalities. You know, no matter what side of the gun debate one is on, we don't want people shooting innocent people. I mean, this ongoing tragedy that we're seeing ensue again and again, it's shared across the aisles. How one deals with it, I think if we bring people together and have them, within closed context, brainstorm ideas on what we might do, ideas start to emerge. You know, I'm thinking, for example, with the work I do in the Middle East with Israelis and Palestinians. Yes, the conflict still burns on, but there has been headway that's been made at different points in time. And what it takes is people who don't see eye to eye to start to build better relationships, working relationships, and to then start to brainstorm some ideas that might actually help move society forward toward its shared goals, its shared concerns.
I assume for good conflict resolution, it is going to take time and it takes patience. And that brings up the question of how patient should we be and how willing and how much time should we be willing to put in?
Yeah, I think the challenge in front of all of us is twofold. One, I think it is for us as a national community to work toward reconciliation, to work toward listening and understanding the other side. And I think the other side is that that does not preclude political activism. Fight for what you believe in, but fight within the rules of the system. And at the same time, let's try and work together to solve the problems we can. So I think there's a certain degree of impatience that's okay. And at the same time, I think we want the patience to try to understand those who seem so foreign, so different, so frightening in their perspectives. Let's understand, because we are one nation, we need to figure out how to understand and live with one another, to coexist.
When you take the stage on Saturday, what is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to get across?
We are emotional beings. The divides that are in front of us now are not rational. They speak to the deepest elements of who we are, to our tribal nature. And while that tribal nature is beautiful, it represents family. When my identity, when my family feels threatened, I'm going to attack. And so are others. How do we move beyond this tribal notion? How do we, and that to me is the essence of what this talk is going to be about, to explore ideas on how to do so.
Why can't peace be a default?
Well, I guess the question is it not the default? You know, it may be that we actually are, at core, peaceful human beings. Cooperation has been the essence of what has kept us evolutionarily alive throughout the millennia. That is the essence of who we are on some level. So I'd almost reverse the question, what's causing us to become violent at different points in time, and how can we overcome that? You know, I think the answer is to move toward cooperation, to figure out ways that we can communicate across the divides, across the political aisle, as uncomfortable as it may seem. You know, I'm sure many of your listeners now are going, what, you want me to listen to the other side, to try and understand the other side? You're nuts. You're crazy. But what's the alternative?
But it seems,
what's the alternative? Yeah.
It seems like we all have a penchant from going from 0 to 60 in the snap of fingers. And that, yeah, that's the default, that we, as you said, we're right, you're wrong, done. And I guess I'm asking of why can't we just assume and the default be that, all right, well, things are going all right. We may have these concerns, but let's talk it out so they continue to be all right.
Amen. That concept is one that I would fully subscribe to. We are interconnected as human beings at a core. I think what happens is that when our identity feels threatened, as it does around issues of, whatever side you're on, immigration, guns, these big issues, they strike at the core of our identity. And the moment our identity feels threatened, that which we believe in feels threatened, we quickly move toward tribalism. It becomes me versus you, self-righteous. I know I am right and you are wrong. Legitimacy is on my side. And I'm going to close my ears to your perspective. I'm going to watch my CNN or Fox News. I'm not watching the other side's news because you are crazy. But what happens? This merely amplifies my own belief system. There's no learning. There's no real grist for cooperation and evolution.
And we're running up against the clock here, but
sure.
My big question is that what seems to be missing in all of this, and maybe this is, I don't know, overly fuzzy, but yeah. Is compassion. It is just, okay, at the end of the day, at least, okay, we don't agree, but we at least have compassion for another human being.
Yeah. I mean, a challenge to your listeners today, try to sit down with somebody whose politics you completely disagree with and listen simply to, ask them questions and listen simply to try to understand their perspective. If you're doing it well, it's the hardest thing to do in the world. But to me, it's the practical essence of that concept you're talking about, compassion.
Daniel Shapiro, you are always a pleasure, and we love having you on this program. You'll be speaking on Saturday at the Tanglewood Learning Institute's Big Idea event at Ozawa Hall at 5 p.m. Folks can find out more going to tanglewood.org or TLI, which is Tanglewood Learning Institute, TLI.org. Daniel Shapiro, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to talk with you.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.